Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Creepaholics. We're here with tales and stories, murders and mysteries. We tell you about the killers, the ghosts, the demons, and the witches. We let you know what really happened to those people on the nights they went missing. Or maybe stories just are unknown. You'll have to tune in to find out. So, without further ado, please welcome the Creepaholics channel with your host, Shanice. Hey everyone, this is Creepaholics. I'm your host, Shanice. Thank you for tuning in again for our evening of stories. Now, today I have an urban legend for you. So I just want to say thank you again for listening. Now, this is going to be episode 8. Now, I know we're getting up there. I know I haven't been posting very long, but I'm hoping to change that. So, tonight, I have a little bit of a story. It's kind of like an urban legend, kind of like hauntings. I guess if you're from the area, to you, it would be more of a real thing. So, I kind of like was searching on the internet the other day, and I found this place called hauntedwalk.com. And it talks about this this place down in Scarborough, Old Finch Avenue Bridge. Now, apparently there's a lot of stuff that happens down there. I was kind of reading through it, and I thought it was pretty interesting, so I thought maybe I would share a little bit about it. I am from Ontario, so I am close to this area. I have been down there before, but I haven't been to this actual section. So, why don't we get into the story, and we'll tell you a little bit more about it. So for over 50 years, the Old Finch Avenue Bridge and the surrounding area has been a site of countless urban legends. Like most spooky stories there that have been passed down from generations and generation, there have been terrified, thrill-seeking teenagers that always are looking for a scare. Now, with every person who tells a story, everyone changes it, you know, adds their own flair. You know how stories go. It's like the game of telephone. Starts one way, changes to the other. But, each one kind of like differs in like, I guess, the perspective of how you're telling it or what they encountered. So most people are drawn to the forest bridge, which is often where you encounter most of the creepy things. So why don't I tell you about it? So we'll start with the Bailey Bridge is born. So Toronto was hit with a fierce Hurricane Hazel in 1954. The catastrophic storm produced a devastating flood along the tributes of Lake Ontario, including the Rouge River in Scarborough. The rising waters were so devastating that the communities in Greater Toronto were unprepared for the storm. The storm had such magnitude that the rushing waters were so intense and the winds and everything, it just washed out so many bridges, and including the connecting one to Scarborough. Now, the communities to the east were very destroyed. There was very many damaged bridges, which kind of isolated people. They were cut off from their supplies. So people had to like act fast. You know, if they didn't rebuild it, then people weren't going to be able to send the first responders over. So the 2nd Field Engineer Regiment of the Canadian Military Engineers were actually brought in to build a bridge as quickly as they could because, you know, like these people are isolated. It's a hurricane. You know, they got no food, they got no water, they got no medical supplies. They don't know how many people are hurt. So, of course, they have to get over there as fast as they can. So, the branch of the service has considerable experiences while they were constructing Bailey's Bridge. Now, Bailey's Bridge, I guess, is what they called it during the Second World War. So, this was a type of, like, portable, prefabricated truss bridge. It could be built in a matter of days. It was ready using, like, available materials. So the regiment took only 3 days working to complete this bridge over the Rouge River. Now, Scarborough was connected to its eastern neighbors once again, and the communities could now start rebuilding following Hurricane Hazel and all the damages. But the bridge kind of came like, I don't know, I guess a symbol of pride to the residents, I guess. It was kind of like a symbol of their like reconciliation, I guess. I know I'm probably saying that wrong, but you know, like you know, binding once again with their community. I guess they felt like very grateful. But it wouldn't be long before the Old Finch Avenue Bridge became known as something much more sinister. So apparently there's something to do with singing happy birthday and listening. Now, I thought it was pretty weird when I was reading it. I kind of didn't know what to expect. Like, you're gonna sing a happy birthday song in a very haunted area. Now, I don't think that's the first thing that's gonna come to your mind, but if it does, then I guess you are a very cheery person. But anyways, some of the most common legends of the old Finch Avenue Bridge involves disembodied screams of like little girls. As the story goes, you have to walk over the bridge at night, and you may be greeted by shrilling screams from beyond. Now, there are very like different variations of like stories and like how the legend goes. So each one, as I said, differs because everyone changes the stories, and it kind of like all depends on like how it goes. So in this one, you can hear the noises promptly, and all you simply need to be is just passing over the bridge at the right time of night, just as the sky starts to get dark, which is when they suggest you should go. Now, I wouldn't suggest to go and try this, but if you'd like, feel free, be my guest. So what you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go to the center of the bridge and start singing the song Happy Birthday. A few people have even remarked that you should yell Happy Birthday Candy out into the darkness. However, if you choose to, you may conjure up something that you may not want to deal with. Now, this may result in a high-pitched, blood-curdling shriek. Now, there's no consciousness on who is making this ghostly sound. The legend portrays that there was this young girl that was murdered on the bridge while she was returning home from a birthday party. Now, some people suggested the names and the graffiti surrounding the area gives her clues to her identity, but there appears to be like no historical murders or definitive links to the spot. So again, there's no paper trail or like what you could really prove it happened. But with everything that's going on, obviously something is happening at this bridge. But most of the sounds are heard like distance in like from the bridge. So like when you're on the bridge, you hear them from the distance, and all you hear is like these terrifying screams of like a girl getting murdered. But not all the experiences are like that though. So pedestrians sometimes gather up the strength to walk across the bridge, which I take my car just in case anything happens. I'm driving the fuck out of there. But you know what I mean. So anyways, lots of people who walk across the bridge say that they've heard footsteps. And when they slow down or stop their pace, the footsteps continue. Other cars have reported to have car troubles. Vehicles end up breaking down at night, rolling onto the bridge. While the exact origin of the Old Finch Bridge story may be a little like paranormal or murky, as you would put it, but the experiences are plentiful. So obviously something is happening out there. So that's kind of like my first urban legend that I have for you. Now, I just want to let you know that I actually have a few. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna stop in between and kind of like talk about like the different urban legends and stuff. So this one was about Scarborough and the Old Finch Bridge. Now, it's down near Toronto Zoo. So if you would like, you could go and visit it. If you want to go sing a happy birthday song, go for it. Send me a message, email me, let me know how it goes. If you want to take some videos and send it out, then I'd love it. But again, I am not telling anyone to go do this. Like, a lot of weird stuff has happened there. So, if it's your thrill, it's your thrill. But again, it's all on you. So that was urban legend number one. And now we're on to our second one of the night. So, this one kind of revolves around the same area, Scarborough as well. This is just on the eastern boundary line. So, this one is about train tracks. Well, a little bit more than train tracks, we'll say. So, anyways, why don't we get into our second one? So while thrill seekers are out listening for disembodied screams of young girls near the bridge, they often travel a bit further past the bridge to the nearby railroad tracks, which also have legends surrounding it as well. Now, the forests stretch land of Scarborough's eastern boundary. Some drivers have rolled onto the railroad tracks, stopping their cars, shutting off their engines, and waiting. After a while, a gently force is said that will start pushing the cars off the tracks to safety. Now, according to some, I guess there was a tragic school bus accident on the tracks in the 1970s, and the ghosts of the victims now protect people from further incidents. As the murdered girl on the bridge, there is no single historic story linked to this legend, so again, going off what people say. There are railroad tracks just north of Old Finch Avenue, but no evidence of serious incidents on that particular stretch. But, however, there are plenty of terrified people who have reported, like, weird and odd and strange things. So, obviously there's something going on there, but I guess whatever happened wasn't documented. So, kind of really can't dig any further than that. But, white orbs are said to be seen floating in the sky, and unexplained car stalls have frequently occurred throughout this area. Now, this particular legend, is a lot like, kind of like, I don't know if you ever heard of, there's a legend called Very Famous Ghost Story by San Antonio, Texas. Now, in this story, there's a school that was apparently hit by a train in the 1930s, and the ghostly figures of the victims were frequently seen on the tracks. In some versions of the story, they are watchful protectors, while in other tellings, they lure more victims to their deaths. It's possible that the popularity of the story and the urban legends surrounding it has inspired more people in the Toronto area to explain, like, strange incidents on the stretch of railroad. But other than what people have seen and this like old 1930s book, but then again, the book was for San Antonio, Texas, not Scarborough, Ontario, so I don't really know how that's gonna have anything to do with it, but it was in the article I read, so I had to kind of throw it in there. But so that was another one that was down around that area. So there's another place called Hillside. Now, there's a church down on Hillside, which is another area that's just around Old Finch Avenue. So just to let you know, all the urban legends I'm actually doing is for this particular area. I figured it was interesting. At the end, I'll name out all the sources and everything that I used to come across it. So anyways, let's get into the Hillside Church. So it's just about like a minute or two drive from the white building that sits on the corner of Old Finch Avenue and Reservoir Road, which is actually one of the oldest buildings in the community. There's a former Methodist church that was built in the 1870s, is actually the local landmark. Now, this is the oldest cemetery that surrounds the church, which contains the remains of many community founders and names that are familiar to the history and the historic events of Scarborough. But the graveyard and the church might house something else. People say that there's something demonic going on there. But over the years, many people have reported hearing strange sounds coming from the ground late at night. Now, these have been described as moaning and groaning noises. It's not immediate if it's a human sound or an unexpected visitor. Visitors, which are often surprised, but not very often. So if someone was in there at like middle of the night, I'm pretty sure people would think that was weird. But the stories surrounding this place say that there's unexplained lights that hover over the graves at night, which kind of like promoted more paranormal seekers to start coming to this location after dark. But many have attempted to try and explain the strange sounds by pointing out the proximity of the Toronto Zoo. And during the day, the cars and the urban sounds whistling by, it can be difficult to hear the animals, but once again, when darkness falls, however, sound will still carry across. But people have heard these moans and insist that the sounds are closer than the zoo property across and down the street. The moans are so loud that apparently you feel like they're coming over your shoulder. Now, that's all that, like, really people say that happens there, is just, like, people moaning and screaming from the graveyard, and, like, I guess since Scarborough's founders are there, maybe they had something to do with a lot of people's demises. But that's all I really have on that urban legend, kind of like involving it. But I also have one more, which kind of like surrounds that area of the railways and like Old Finch Road. So there's like a lot of terrifying people and experiences that people say have happened in this unique area, and they're drawn to these spooky stories. As you drive along Old Finch Road, you suddenly transport from a modern suburban neighborhood to something filled with contemporary amenities, to a dark, dense forest that looks to be straight out of a ghost story. Now, for urban dwellers, some of like the shifty, untamed nature amplifies the strange tales, or maybe paranormal activity is drawn to this particular location for some reason. People are simply search for stories to explain the explanations of the encounters, but with no luck, they still haven't found anything to kind of connect with it. But most of the urban legends are centered around Old Finch Road. In Toronto, there are a lot of like attractions and curious outlookers who want to experience something for themselves. So a lot of people do go down and try to like see what's going on. But I haven't really like looked into more of the urban legends. But if you feel free that you'd like to, go ahead. They're actually really interesting. There was more, but if I continued, then I probably wouldn't get any sleep for work tomorrow. So I just wanted to say thank you for listening to my podcast, Creepaholics, and I'd like to name out my sources. So one of the articles that I read was written by Brittany Ann Boss, which is, her page is called A Haunted Walk Tour and Guidehouse. Now, some of the sources that were used for it was www.ontarioabandonedplaces.com/church. I also used the Ontario Abandoned Places /Ontario/Scarborough/Hillside-Church. There was also the Canadian Encyclopedia.ca /n/article/Hurricane Hazel. I also looked into the TorontoLife.com/food/urban-legend-decoder-miscellaneous-13. There is also the toronto.citynews.ca/2009/10/29/haunted-toronto-part-1. So if you'd like to just check out the sites, or you know, see if you want to look a little bit more into it, feel free to do so. I know this episode's kind of a little short for you guys, but that's all I really have. But my next episode that I will be starting to look into, I'm sure not a lot of people have really heard about this, but I'm going to do the story called Candy from Strangers. Now, this is in 1876, and it's about Charlie Ross. So it's going to be kind of a little longer and detailed episode for everybody. So I really hope you would like to join in. I have a few other ones that I've been dying to do. So as I work on them, I hope you can tune in and listen. I'd like to thank Anchor for doing my podcast. I would also like to do a shout out to Caveus, which is a cover art company who helps me promote my cover art and video art for my page. You can also check out my Facebook page. You can type in Creepaholics, or you can also find my Facebook page at No Country for Crime with Shanice. If you have any comments or suggestions, or just want to send out an email, you can also visit me at my Facebook page, Shanice Deshaw, or you can email me at shanicedeshaw12@gmail.com. I hope to hear from you guys. If you'd like to subscribe or send a notification, I would really appreciate it. You can also head over to anchor.fm and send a little support if you would like. There are a few choices there. There is a 99-cent option, a $4.99 option, and I think a $8.99 option. Now, each one of those will give you access to special features and some prizes. So if you'd like to send some support, that would be great. That goes towards helping future episodes be created. And I hope everyone has a good night. Thank you for tuning in to Creepaholics. We're creeping it real. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Creepaholics with your host, Shanice. I'd like to thank all my new followers, and for everybody who has liked and followed my podcast channel. If you'd like to stay up to date on content, don't forget to hit the notification button and follow my podcast on whatever platform you use. Also, too, we will be creating a Patreon page very soon, so stay up to date with that with our future episodes. I would also like to thank Canvases for allowing them to do my cover art They were very kind enough to do it for me, and I was very appreciative for it. So if you'd like to hear about any more true crime stories, urban legends, histories, mysteries, UFOs, you name it, we got it. So stay tuned. Thanks.
Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Thank you.